In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm Brian Shackman. He's John Senecal. This is episode 161, picking up the pieces after the Red Sox-Yankees series in Boston. You know, Friday night, obviously a punishing loss for the Yankees, and Saturday night. And I'll, first of all, hi, John. How are you?
I'm good, Brian. It's been an interesting Yankees-Red Sox series for sure, and it's been a busy few days for me, but I know you had a good time because you were at the game.
Well, so Saturday, my wife, who works at a private high school, Loomis Chaffee in Windsor, Connecticut, great school, they had like an alumni event where they got a bunch of seats, and I'll tell the story about that too. And they had a couple extras, and someone in the alumni office knows that Jessica, my wife, is a big Red Sox fan, so they offered us a couple of tickets. And she wasn't going to go because she had to pick up the boys somewhere. And then my daughter said she would like to go, and I was like, our daughter's going to college in 3 weeks. Just whatever you got to do, fix it, and let's go. And we went to Fenway for opening day. We haven't been since. Everyone knows who listens to the podcast knows I'm a little bit salty on the Sox these days. And so we found a way to get all the three of us went. It was complicated, and we got there. And what I have to say is that there's a bunch of things I want to talk about. Number one is, I'm not saying it had 03-04 vibes, because it didn't. But the crowd was huge. There was tons of great energy. The weather was awesome. And it felt like Fenway when it was at its best.
And this is Saturday night.
This is game two, yep. Yeah, of the three-game series. And it just felt awesome. You know, like I actually had a little hop in my step going into the stadium. I was just pumped to have a couple beers and watch a game and have fun with a good portion of my family. The two things that I noticed the most, and then I'll get into some of the details of the game if you want. Number one is, with marijuana recreationally legal in Massachusetts, I smelled weed everywhere. I mean, like, I'm telling you. So it wasn't even like vape pens and edibles. I mean, I smelled it all over the place, number one, which I found to be kind of hysterical. I mean, just the change in culture is so pronounced. Number two, which is in some ways the more conversational piece when it comes to baseball, is it didn't feel like hundreds of Yankee fans, John. It felt like thousands of Yankee fans. And this sort of plays into my sense of Fenway as a tourist attraction, and that, you know, Red Sox fans aren't really that into it, because if you can do that much damage on the secondary market, and there were Let's Go Yankee chants that almost did not get drowned out at the park. I mean, it was...
Like, what are we talking percentage-wise? This isn't a 50-50 split.
No, but, I mean, enough to make a difference, because, you know, the truth is like, say there were, like, I don't know, say it was 10%, right? Say it was 10%, and then you have, you know, 50%, you know, Red Sox fans, and then you have, you know, 30 or 40% tourists.
Right.
I mean, I think it was probably more than 10%. It was probably more like 20. And maybe 20 to 25. It was that pronounced. And like in front of me, I had three guys from New Jersey. One had a Thurman Munson jersey. One had a Babe Ruth jersey.
So they traveled. They're Yankee fans. They traveled. They came up
and
traveled for the game. I'm wondering, you know, when you say that, because I wonder how long were those games were definitely all sold out, but when were they sold out? Was this something that people were buying ahead of time, or was this something when the Yankees were good and they saw this on the schedule, or is it something where they're like, all right, well, it's a beautiful night. I'm going to go up to the gate and, you know, is there going to be more tourists there? I thought, just listening to it, I listened to one of them on the radio, and I thought I echo your sentiment that you could definitely hear Yankee fans very pronounced in the stadium. But, I mean, if you're talking about the atmosphere in general, I mean, if people that are up in the Northeast listen to this, Saturday night was probably one of the top five nights and days of weather in the Northeast for this summer. So it was perfect. So you were definitely going to be outside doing something. And the game didn't disappoint. I mean, Brian, you went to probably the most exciting one of MLB games of the season. Definitely the Yankees Red Sox series most exciting game. And for Yankee fans, you know, are one of our most exciting games. But talk to me about the atmosphere as far as the game. I mean, you saw Aaron Judge hit a home run that probably still hasn't landed, right? And
yeah.
and you texted me and you said, this guy is literally insane. But when you see that like live in person, everybody knew that ball was gone. But like, what was that like? It probably shut everyone up pretty much, right?
Well, first of all, I mean, it was crazy because when we got there, we had these special seats. They have the awful grandstand seats that are in right field that they're like way back from the plate. They don't even face the plate. And what they do is they converted a bunch of them to these bar stool tabletops, and they sort of do them for group events. And so we had this incredible setup where I had like I had a stool and like a table. I ended up sitting in seats with my daughter for most of the game, and they had like free beer and hot dogs and this like our own little concession thing. Setup was insane. I don't know how much it was per ticket, but it was
awesome. Wasting time at the concession stand, which is great.
Great, and then I didn't have to, you know, I bought a beer or two before I got there. I didn't know we were getting free beers, and I'd save myself $20 a pop. But here's the things, I decided to, like, get right in line for some food because the game just started, and literally between Verdugo, Soto, and Judge, I mean, the Yankees were up 3-0
Disclaimer, this guy wanted to give up. He said, I should just go home now. And he said, I had one beer.
I did. I mean, I think I texted that. I was like, this game's over.
And what did I say?
What did you say?
I said, don't worry, they're going to blow it.
Right. And they almost did.
Well, they came right back in the bottom of the first, right? Scored three runs. Come right back. That's what I would meant. But continue with your story, because this is one hell of a game.
Well, I mean, first of all, I just have to – I'm going back to – I mean, our whole little thread here, now that I'm getting back to it. I was like, you see the start of this game? And I said, my second text, might as well go home now. And then and then you had a comment on the weed that I won't touch. And then you said, go home, we'll blow this lead for sure. I mean, it's true. I mean, it was amazing. And the fact that they clawed back to 3-3. And, I mean, listen, first start with Judge. I mean, just look at his line for the game. 4-for-4 with 3 RBI, 3 runs scored. And 2 walks.
On base 6 times. First time in his career. First time in his career. That's crazy.
I mean, and he's up there. And I mean, all the stuff you already know. That the bat looks like a toothpick in his arms and everything. And, you know, but Soto was great too. And, you know, listen, I think to me, like, forget about the pickoff. Like, I think it was it Abreu in right field where he went back and he crashed over the short wall.
Which would have been one of probably the best catches of the season.
And it looked like he had it. Now, I think the momentum of his body would have jarred the ball out anyway, but everyone's making it from John Boy Sports on down that it was his contact with a Yankee fan, inadvertent, but contact, that ultimately led him to drop the ball. And so there were so many little elements, and to be honest, like, the Red Sox had 2 outs and 2 strikes, and they end up, you know, with a chance to win the game, and they end up losing the game. When the game tied up, I mean, I felt like everyone in the stadium knew they were going to lose. I had that feeling.
Yeah, and then anytime you go into extra innings, I mean, with the new format, it's crazy. But Trent Grisham had the at-bat of his life as a Yankee for sure. And, you know, he's struggling all year, batting like 180. But what an at-bat for him. And then, of course, the other guy who's been struggling a lot too, but playing better of lately, Glaber, gets a big hit in extras. But the judge home run was pretty impressive. I mean, watching it on TV was great. It was just great. I can't imagine what it was like seeing it in person. And you know, the crazy thing about this whole series is if you were a fan of baseball and wanted to see some production, you saw it in this series, because it wasn't a pitcher's series. I mean, they had 74 hits total in this whole series and scored 45 runs in 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees, I mean, scored, and out of the 45, I think the Yankees scored like 30 of those of those runs. I mean, it was, to be honest, like, for me, and I love the City Connect uniforms, and to be honest, I do. And I mean, I love Tyler O'Neill, but I guess he really should have made that catch. But the bottom line is that what I'm trying to say is the atmosphere in the park, it was different than it used to be, in the sense that there were way too many Yankee fans. And, you know, when I was little, you wore a Yankee jersey if you wanted to get in a fight.
Right.
like you wore the jersey if you wanted trouble. Now it's like you got, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend in matching Yankee jerseys. It's just a different vibe.
It's like a novelty. It's like a novelty thing now. It's not so much a heated rivalry. It's more of
correct.
Like, yeah. But, you know, that being said, it's put some juice back in the rivalry. And for the fact that the Red Sox are playing better, and I guarantee that definitely put more fans in the stands. And just knowing anytime the Yankees come to town, they're going to put more fans in the stands regardless. But great series. I'm glad as a Yankee fan, we finally took a series. I feel like that's like the first one since like June 15th or something like that we've actually won.
It's been a while.
But, you know, I was nervous going in. I mean, if you listen to the podcast, you heard my rant, and I was thinking, you know, the Red Sox could be a half game behind us at the end of this. So, on the big grand scheme of things, I think the Yankees came out pretty darn good on this end.
Oh, yeah, they got to be happy. And the truth is, thank goodness that the Orioles and the Royals have sucked so bad, because the Red Sox lose two or three here, and they've lost, you know, I think as of Monday, like 7-9 coming out of the All-Star break, and they're still in the mix, so yeah. They're not out of it. And you know, we'll talk about the trade deadline at a later date. But anyway, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'll just say, it was an incredible night at the park. It was so deflating because, you know, I wake up no matter what at 4 in the morning because my body's used to it. So we got home at 2 in the morning. So losing the game was kind of crushing, I have to tell you. But the actual in-game experience was as good as I've had in years. It was just really fun to be there. So I was grateful to get a chance to see a game, but to get to see a game like that was incredible. Now, we're not talking trades now. We'll do that at a later date. But we did want to touch on one trade in particular because I think, John, you think this Jazz Chisholm trade is, people aren't looking at it necessarily in all the proper context.
No, I think, you know, I think they will eventually, but, you know, everyone gets so hyped about the trade deadline. They want to see big names and they want to see, you know, the big pitchers and all those players go. You know, Jazz Chisholm is a big name, but he's not the household name, all right? He's not a big marquee player. He's a good player, but he's a young player. And I think what the Yankee fans need to look at here is, you know, they're getting Jazz Chisholm now, and they're just going to use him however they can use him for the rest of the season, right? They're getting Jazz Chisholm basically as Glaber's replacement. All right, he's slightly better than Glaber as is with WAR and everything, but he also is much more dynamic of a player. When I say dynamic, he's faster. He can run. He automatically is the leading base stealer on the Yankees now with, I think, like 22 on the season. But that being said, he also has control for two more years after this year. Glaber's a free agent after this year, and Glaber's going to make money regardless of his stats, right? But Jazz Chisholm's making $2.3 million this year. He's arbitration eligible next season. He will not double that salary. That just does not happen in arbitration. So he will never make more than probably $6 million a year, maybe seven tops as a Yankee over the next 2 years. So Jazz Chisholm is an extremely great bargain for the Yankees, who are going to need to be able to spend some money, Juan Soto, next year, and they're going to need to save some money and get a player to replace Glaber who will make double, probably triple of what Jazz Chisholm is making, regardless of the fact that he's hitting 250 and Glaber's playing much better lately. But Yankee fans, look at it this way. Glaber could be back. You never know. But I'm guessing you just saw Glaber's replacement for next year.
John, you're a guy. Take a stand. First of all, they match up position. I don't know anything about it.
Well,
they match
Chisholm
up
could be center
wise.
Field or second base. All right, he's a very flexible player, but he's not going to be
just
playing center field.
Then say Glaber's gone.
I'm saying
just
Glaber's
say
gone. I'm saying this is Glaber's replacement for next year because he's cheaper, okay. He's faster, and he's basically getting Glaber at a quarter of the price and more speed, and he can play more positions than Glaber. So that's what you're getting, and that's what I'm saying. Glaber's going to be gone next year. Because Chisholm is not going to be in the Yankees as a role player next year, because if you're going to bring Jason Dominguez up, he's going to be an outfielder, and he's going to probably be playing center field. So that means if you do sign Juan Soto, he has to be in the outfield. I mean, if you want to solve the whole problem, you just put Aaron Judge at first base, and everything can fall into place. But I don't see that happening right now. So,
well, I don't see him. I don't know why. We'll move on, but I don't see why judges should not be in the outfield. You know what I mean? He's good.
Given the Yankees situation right now, you could put Judge at first base, and it would solve everything if everyone came back. You wouldn't have to move anybody.
You think he doesn't want to do it?
I think he likes playing outfield. I think he likes playing center field because he originally is an outfielder, and you know he is the captain of the team. But he would do whatever. But he has taken ground balls. He's taken field. He's played it in spring training. And listen, Aaron Judge is a talented guy. He's a big dude. I'm sure he could play first base. You know. But right now, given the roster as it is, with Stanton coming back on Monday against the Phillies, finally off the IL, man, you could slot him in there, and there's not many problems with the lineup. You know, you could move at people all around, and everyone could play. You know, so we'll see. I don't see that happening, but what I'm saying is, Jazz Chisholm is a fix now and for the next 2 years. So, Yankee fans, you should be happy about this.
Yeah, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 161 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I know that producer Matt, who produces this podcast as well as our morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080, he was in Cooperstown, but so were you. Talk about it.
Yeah, so I was up in Cooperstown for my youngest son. They were in a baseball tournament. Now, this is not he plays on a 16-17 U team. So this is not like the typical tournament in Cooperstown, which is called the Cooperstown's Dreams Park, which is
the Double Day, right?
It's not Double Day. Double Day is separate from that, but you can play some games at Double Day. But what Cooperstown Dreams Park is it's been around since like late 90s, early 2000s, and it's like an 18-field complex that they built just south of Cooperstown, and they have all turf fields, and they host tournaments all summer long for teams all around the country. And you basically go there for like a week, and the kids stay in like a barracks there, and they stay on the site, and they play in tournaments. And when I say there's teams from all around the country, Brian, there are teams from all around the country. Washington State, Florida, Virginia, and it's cool because I got this. I was staying in the hotels with these same people, so they got the stuff all over the cars, or they've flown in and they've rented cars and they're painted their cars up. They got flags everywhere, and they're going nuts over this. And this is not like your average tournaments too, because like Bryce Harper's played in this tournament, Corey Seager's played in this tournament. There's countless major leaguers have played in this because they are on these 12U teams when they're growing up. And if you're serious about baseball enough to travel from California, chances are you're on a good team. So that was pretty cool to see that in that kind of atmosphere. And it kind of, you know, got me thinking back to when, you know, not so long ago, my kids were that age. I wish they would have had a chance to do that, but we just never did. I have relatives that have done it. Probably an awesome experience. But getting back to the Hall of Fame. So, I went to the Hall of Fame one day with my son on Thursday when we first got there into town, and very quiet in the morning there. We went early, and you mentioned Aaron Judge, who says he looks like a toothpick in his hand, the bat, right? So we were up on the second floor and we're looking at stuff, and all of a sudden I hear this lady go, and then Aaron Judge's bat. And both my son and I turn and we're like, what did you just say? And we look over and she's standing there with Aaron Judge's bat, like one of his game used bats. And another bat from like the early 19th century, early 20th century, 1905 or something like that, to show the difference between the two. So Aaron Judge has a 35-inch, 33-ounce bat. So if anybody knows anything about baseball, that's huge. That's a big bat. But that next to like a bat from like 1905, it looked like you're swinging like a fence post from 1905. There's no definition to the bat. It's basically just pretty much straight down through. It's like you're swinging like a pillar on a staircase.
But a 35-33, so like I remember I used like most guys use like 32s and 33s, but the ounces are lighter. Like a 33-ounce bat for a 35 is a light bat. I mean, the 1905 bat's probably 40 ounces.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's crazy, right? But you also think, like you just said, like in high school and college, like I had a 33-inch, 30-ounce bat. And he has a 35-inch, 33-ounce bat. You wouldn't think that's a lot, but then you start thinking about it, and it's like 3 ounces, 98, 99, 100, coming fast. Like, that makes a difference, right? It's pretty crazy. Yeah. But when you look at the bat, and you just, like you said, it's like it looks like a toothpick in his hands, but it doesn't look like a toothpick in our hands, that's for sure. And then you look at the bats they swung back in the day. Obviously pitching not as fast, even though the mound was closer. Still, it's pretty impressive that what they were able to do given the tools they had back in the day. And they were showing us the gloves and the comparison between the gloves. And that was cool, too. You got to put a glove on from the earliest century. And then you got to see the difference between the balls and when they changed the distance and the mound and the weight of the ball and the size. So very cool time as far as like interactive stuff. But if you go to the Hall of Fame and you've been there a bunch of times, a lot of it, 95% of it is basically the same stuff, right? It's all kind of, and they rotate stuff in and out, which is cool. You get to see the current stuff and the World Series rings and then the plaques. The plaques were always cool. That was fun. We hit that early. But if you haven't been to the Hall of Fame and you like baseball, you have to go if you're listening to this. And Cooperstown is great. It's a sleepy town in New York. And I'm saying sleepy town. It's like all you're going to drive by is cornfields, and then you're going to get there, and then you're going to leave, and all you're going to see is cornfields. So it's baseball mecca, though. If you love it, if you love baseball, go. It's a good time.
Well, they try to sell you every – I mean, it is sleepy and small, but every there's a gajillion little stores trying to sell you everything from keychains to –
There's a ton of stores and knickknacks, and, you know, if you like baseball cards and collectibles, you know, it's a great place to go. If you're looking for deals on baseball cards and collectibles, that's probably not the place to go, but you can find anything there. I mean, if you want an autograph of a player, you can find it there, and he could be eating pasta, and you'd have an autograph picture of him. So it's pretty crazy, but, you know, getting back to that Dreams Park thing, like, they've built a mecca around that. Like, that business showed up, and there's 50 businesses around that because of it. So it's impressive, and it is a cash cow. Whoever started that is a genius, and they've probably got a beautiful house in Malibu, I'm sure. It is quite the thing. It is quite
the thing. I'm trying to see when I went to New Berlin, New York, and Cooperstown. Just give me one second here, because I'm trying to make sure my memories are correct. Yeah, so I was doing a story when Hamdi Ulukaya started Chobani. He bought an old Breyers yogurt factory in New Berlin, New York. And Greek yogurt had just taken off. This is like 12 years ago. I don't even, it might even be more. And I went up to New Berlin, New York to do a story on this Chobani yogurt guy. And it was an incredible story. I mean, I mean, it was just awesome. And I had time to burn, so I might have even stayed in Cooperstown to do the story. It's about 35 minutes away, and I just remember this day, like, I stopped by like a roadside food trucky thing and got like a hot dog on the side of the road in the middle of summer, and then went on to Cooperstown and did the museum and bought, like, had them carve up a bat for me, like a Louisville Slugger bat that's always just stayed in my closet. I don't even know where it is now. I spent all this money on it. I have no clue where it is. But I just, like, it felt like a huge slice of Americana, right? I mean, just, you know, getting the roadside hot dog and then going into Cooperstown. It's just, if you know, and if, forget about patriotism, it's just sort of like the cool American. It just feels good to go there. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it makes total sense, Brian. It's funny you said that, because we did the roadside stand stuff every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I've never eaten so many cheeseburgers and chicken fingers, and then vanilla chocolate twists and vanilla milkshakes. I mean, nice. But that's the thing, though. Like, when you're out there, that's what's along the road. Like, you stop, you pull over, and you have, like, a to-die-for cheeseburger and an awesome vanilla milkshake that would, like, you kill someone for, and you get out of there for $25 between two people, and it's like, if you were to buy that somewhere else, it's $45, you know? It's like, it's great, and it is. You're right. You look to the left, you see a cornfield. You look to the right, you see a cornfield. The next thing you know, you see, like, these random people, and you strike up a conversation with them as they sit there. Yeah. So it's great, and I highly recommend Cooperstown, New York. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah, and obviously for you, I mean, the father-son thing is you know, gold, obviously. I didn't get to do that, but maybe someday I'll get to do it. So thumbs up for this week in terms of Fenway Park and for Cooperstown, which is not a huge stretch necessarily.
Yeah, but getting to swing Judge bat, he said, was the highlight of his trip. So that was...
Did it feel wicked heavy to him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was it looked like he was going to... When he picked it up, it looked like he was going to fall over at first, you know? It's amazing how big the bat is when you pick it up, and you know, it's crazy.
How big is the man? I mean, he's 6'8".
It's,
I mean,
crazy. It's funny, you know, I listened to Bill Burr's podcast, and he had done something a while ago, and he was talking about the old Yankee Stadium. He used to say, you know, oh, he used to meet at the bat, you know, the bat, and it was like a smokestack out in front of Yankee Stadium. Yeah. And he goes, Aaron Judge could probably pick that damn thing up and swing it.
He probably could. And I in some ways, I haven't been to... Honestly, I've never been to the new stadium, and it's not even new anymore, but I just remember going to the old one and just being like, this is where Babe Ruth, like, this is the bench he farted on.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's just like, it was different. It felt different. Listen, great stuff, John. We appreciate it, as always. We appreciate you guys listening. This has been episode 161 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.